Greetings, saints. God bless you. Thank you for joining us for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for leading and guiding us today and giving us discernment and wisdom, Lord, for the days to come. Lord, things are happening today that we were told about many years ago. And what we see coming on the very, very near horizon are things that we saw happening many, many years ago. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring these wonderful things to pass, to bring multitudes of people into your kingdom, Lord. Many of you have been under Babylonish bondage, Lord, are coming into your kingdom. And we give thanks unto you, O God, in Jesus' name. All right, I think I'm going to do part two of Out of Babylon and Into Refuge. Well, it's pretty much like part one that the Lord gave us revelations about going out and bringing the apostate church people into refuge. And we thank God for doing it. This first one I'm going to share with you is the Refuge Ministry to the World. It was given in 2007 by an anonymous person. And this is part of a dream I had in 4:30 of 07. Other parts were for personal direction. I saw a colossal, new, white jumbo jet delivered to David Eales, fully paid for. And I do believe that this has a double meaning, a double fulfillment, I should say. One for this individual, David, and the other for the corporate David Manchild ministry. And of course, we know Jesus already paid the price for bringing his people into the kingdom. And he paid for this huge plane, which is a tool or a medium to do this. And it represents many, many people who will rise up like eagles into the heavenly realm through abiding in Christ, who is the Word, and them also going forth to others and bringing them into the kingdom. Amen. They went on to say, I have never seen a plane that huge and that fat in my entire life. It will surely make aviation history if it can actually fly. I suppose if it can fly, it would be by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit and not by any human effort. Yes, of course, by faith and not by our works, right? I don't know how much about planes, that much about planes, but it looks physically impossible to fly such a plane because of its colossal proportions. I also saw three names on the title deed to that plane. David's was the first name I saw on the deed. The second was a man called Bird. And the third was a man called Bob. I was looking at the deed to the plane and the name Bird when David said to me, it is by God's grace that this plane has finally arrived. We will be using this jumbo jet to transport refugee Christians from all parts of the world to the mountain of refuge. And the dream ended there. And they said, my understanding is this represents the start of an extremely huge spirit-led ministry for the end times, which would impact the whole world. Yes, and obviously the greatest is yet to come, folks. More than anything, we would like to see the saints of God walking in the steps of Jesus. It's going to shake the world, and the Lord is going to do it. And he paid for all this with his life so that we could be partners with him in bringing it to pass, right? And we've been told that other ministries will join ours in the last day's work. Matt Weller shared that in the military, a bird is a satellite And I represent UBM, and the bird represents the satellite ministry. This is confirmed by this person looking at the name bird on the title to a big jumbo bird, which represents the ministry. And I asked the Lord to give me a word from his word about bird, and he gave me 2 Samuel 22 and 20. He brought me forth also into a large place. That's the thing about a bird, is it can go many, many places. And especially a jumbo jet bird, it can go all over. And I know for a fact that we're going to reach, we have reached all over the world, but we're going to reach even more, many more people. And the Manchild ministry is going to reach the whole world, praise be to God. And all these forms of transmitting the gospel through the airways greatly expand the scope of our ministry horizons. And I believe that the Manchild ministry is going to use satellites in a great way. And the mountain of refuge here has a physical aspect for those who are in spiritual Mount Zion, which is made up of those who believe and abide in Jesus, as the scripture has said. Psalm 125 and 1 says, "They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people, from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, that the righteous put not forth their hands into iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts." Amen. Amen. God is raising up a people, and we give thanks. In verse 5, But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. And this happened too. And this is where Bob's ministry to the body, as one-third of the names on the title, even as one-third of the stars of heaven fell to the earth, he and others after him fell away through faction and selfish ambition. And this happened, of course, to sanctify the body, to cleanse the body. Their crucifixion of the body will enable this plane to get off the ground. We pray for the elect among them to repent. And the person who had this dream had also, and also Garrett Crawford had dreams that these people would, through their fleshly desires, attempt to crash the plane. And so it was. I mean, everything has already been written about what happened to our ministry, you know. And of course, Jesus's ministry too was crashed by men, right? Judas's, for a matter of fact. So who's going to ultimately be in the plane that God chooses? Well, Psalm 15 and 1 says, "The Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh truth in his heart." Psalm 24 and 3, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood." You know what lifting up your soul unto falsehood is? Believing something because it profits you. Well, that's how to get deceived. People believe what they want to believe to make themselves great, you know. But the Lord is going to say who's who before it's over. "And hath not sworn deceitfully." There you go. "He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation." Yes, amen. And back at that time, you know, in 2007, Matt and Ellie took notes of this and gave some interpretation, and they sent it to me. Matt, Ellie, and Kelly. And David represents the body of the man-child, the beloved one, who is about to be anointed by the latter rain. This also relates to the Spirit descending as a dove, a bird, upon Jesus. And when Jesus began his ministry to the people of God, his fame spread throughout the land. Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and a fame went out concerning him through all the region round about. Bob means famous, but it is short for Robert, which means one with bright fame. So the satellites or birds will expand the David ministry, and its fame will spread throughout the world. Also, Ellie just happened to turn to the name Zipporah when she was looking up the meanings of the names. Zipporah means bird. Moses' wife circumcised his son before the Lord was about to kill him. And this happened just before Moses was sent into Egypt. In other words, the world to free God's people. Okay. So we see that our hearts are circumcised before being sent into the world to free God's apostate people. And Christ in us, the glory of God, will be known throughout the land once again when judgments fall and the fear of the Lord is instilled in all who witness these things. We've been talking about the fear of the Lord, how it brings a respect from the world, and it turns the apostates to Christ, right? Okay, back to my own notes. And planes, angels, and birds have a similar meaning spiritually when we speak of preaching from heaven. It was an angel of God that guided Israel into the wilderness place of safety from the beast kingdom. That's in Exodus chapter 12, 13, and 14. And I believe God's angels will do this for UBM and the saints all over the world. We actually have dreams on our site. Angels guided people to the refuge that we were in. Also, there's another type of angel or messenger that will guide God's people to their wilderness refuge during the tribulation. Satellites are commonly called angels nowadays. Sky Angel is a satellite network. There is a Rode Angel satellite navigation system. The military has a program since 2004 called the Autonomous Nanosatellite Guardian Evaluating Local Space, or ANGELS, to watch over the U.S. There is also Digital Angel, which has designed a microchip readable from satellite for the beast system. And three angels in Revelation 14, 6 through 9 preached the gospel. Could you imagine that it possibly could be the gospel being preached over satellite? No, I believe so. And the angels also warn of judgment, the fall of Babylon, the mark of the beast from mid-heaven, and all this before the middle of the tribulation. We believe the Lord would have us use three satellite angels to reach the majority of the population of Earth. And with this same message, and will guide them to their wilderness refuge, whether it's a physical place or not, you know. Satellites are also commonly called birds. Revelation 12 and 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child, and there was given to the woman the two wings of the great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half a time from the face of the serpent. Amen. That's the verse 3.5 years, right? Amen. And another one, the name will fall. And this was in 20 and 10. Same person. I saw a gigantic tree with the sign, Unleavened Bread Ministries. This tree was extremely huge and fruitful. That sign was removed by the Lord, and it fell face downward. Well, the name of UBM being cast down represents the factious slander, criticism, and defamation of character that came against the ministry. Name in the Greek and Hebrew means nature, character, and authority. So it's somebody speaking against the nature, character, and authority of UBM. And, of course, this happened. I mean, this was in 2010, and it started big time in 2011. It started to happen. But that's not unusual. There is no ministry in the Bible that wasn't persecuted and slandered and spoken about and had its own Judases and so on. So, they said, I believe there is going to be some sort of overhaul of your ministry before it comes back again in full force. Absolutely. Whether it is ministerial unions, that happened. Persons in charge, that happened, because some elders, so-called elders, fell away. Structure, yes. Contacts, yes. I do not know. So she didn't know what these, you know, were, what this meant, you know. But all of these things did change after this through the faction that God sent to separate some from us. And we are seeing the fruit of this in power and holiness. Sanctification always brings that, whether it's into an individual or whether it's to a body. Sanctification brings that power and that holiness, right? They said, I would like to say that there was nothing wrong with the tree. It was gigantic, wholesome, beautiful, had fruits, and I have seen the UBM garden in dreams. And once again, the trees, plants, and flowers were gigantic and beautiful. And Brother David was tending the garden very efficiently, with lots of love, and I was amazed that he knew each name and circumstances that surrounded each flower or person. I was surprised that he could give me details of each person in his garden and their lives, but I was too enthralled at the beauty of this garden to listen to what he was saying and wished he could keep quiet so I could could walk and enjoy the garden. When God shows me ministries, it is always as a garden. This was not like looking at our plants. The trees and flowers looked similar, but diverse kinds of colors and more beautiful than what you see on earth. Interesting, I have been shown UBM as gigantic flowers and trees in a garden, a gigantic jumbo jet, and now a gigantic fruitful tree. Thus, it is a big fruitful ministry in God's mind. When I saw this, I heard overhaul. Thus, I was wondering, overhaul what? I mean, if the tree was having sin, I would have seen branches and leaves falling down or fruits falling down due to being rotten, or the tree being thoroughly pruned. If the tree was rotten or unfruitful, I think the Lord would have axed it. Thus, I was pondering over this, and the tree represents the ministry, which is the Lord's and no one else's. No one has the right to say this or that is my soul, or this or that person is stealing my sheep, etc., because all belong to God. Amen. There's going to be sifting and shifting in the ministry, something shown at the beginning of this year of 2010. Well, I say amen. There is only one church, and all belong to Him. And we must decrease, and He must increase. And the sifting, looking back, the sifting was to separate what was wanted from what was not wanted. It was a sanctification of a body, right? For me, like you, when I was when I saw the sign on wood being removed and it fell face downward towards the ground, I got humbling to dust and ashes. Yes, it's a crucifixion which comes so a resurrection can remain, right? And I feel this is the lowest point in this ministry. What God showed was a little bit drastic for me, and thus I did think, will there be a change in name also? Well, yes, a change in nature, character, and authority. That's what name means, right? Yes. And as a body is sanctified, of course, that's what you have, is its name. Its nature, character, and authority is being sanctified. And what is unclean is being separated, and what is leaven is being separated. And God does this with holy bodies everywhere. If you got a church that's just full of sinners and they don't demand that people walk right and holy, and it fills up with sinners, God doesn't try to sanctify that. He moves over and starts over. Okay. That is why I was thinking what I was seeing rubbish. She thought, there's something wrong here. This is not right. But it was very clear on April 25th, I was shown again many more Christians coming to UBM. Yes, and I can tell you in some cases, these are people that are replacing others who were called by the Lord. I also saw the lame, the poor, the rejected come from all corners of the U.S. and the world to your house in Tennessee, my spiritual house, not the physical house. And of course, we've received many dreams and visions and words prophesying this. But see, this is what it's all about. We're not here to enjoy life. We're here to serve the King and his children and bring them fully into the kingdom. Yeah. And they went on to say, Jesus came for such people, not proud people who have no need of God. True, true. And the house was a 100-year-old farmhouse. You know, every church ought to be a farmhouse because we're to raise crops for the Lord, right? And it's his garden, right? It was a 100-year-old farmhouse, really, really old and ancient, with a door opening to the right. And when I walked outside, I saw these blue mountains on the right. Yes, we can see them too. But this part I don't understand, since when I went to take a look at the area you spoke of, I didn't see any mountains in the pictures. And it could have been where we lived before. But yes, we can see them. Thus, I am not sure if this is literal or spiritual. Yes, that's come to pass. The bluish mountains can be seen from here by looking east. And I believe 100 represents completion. It will be a spiritual old farm to raise up God's plants and creatures the way it used to be done. That's why it's old. We're going back to what was ordained by the Lord. When we stick to the word, that's what we're all doing, isn't it? If that abide in you which you heard from the beginning, then you abide in the Son. It's from the beginning. It's very old. Yeah. This is where I saw so many people coming to your house by cars, buses, taxis, etc. I saw these people were rejected and injured, but they all had a smile and a great joy on their faces. They had great love for one another. Amen. He that is whole hath no need of a healer, which is the literal word there, not a physician. That's what Jesus said. And the Lord is going to give us much property and houses to provide for his people and to train them in his ways. you know, within crops is the seed of much more crops. Jesus raised up 12, and then he sent them out to raise up a church, a fivefold ministry, etc. And they bore much fruit because the fruit of Jesus was in them. And in all of the fruit, there is seeds, right? True fruit. So that what we will see is a geometric progression that multiplies the fruit exponentially. Do you know that there was a strong wind blowing, but that tree stood still? No fruit, leaf, or branch broke. Yes, amen. As in the dream above, the ministry will endure tribulation and persecution and stand. Amen. And it was only when the Lord removed that wooden sign that it fell down face towards the ground. As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing wrong with the ministry, only we people who make it up. I only know that God has and will always be against pride, and he will always give grace to the humble. Yes. And, of course, the name was truly slandered and is still being slandered and defaced as it was with Jesus. But the fruit is great. She went on to say, seeing in a dream the warning the Lord has given to you, BM, seeing the demons surround you like a garrison and wanting to take this ministry down, and seeing all the outcome thus far, I suggest all take an inventory of our lives and be in prayer. Yes, the wind has blown and the demons have railed. And praise be to God. It's according to his word. And another revelation here, simple ministries bear the best fruits. That was in 2007. These past days, I've been meditating on the garden of God. Simple lives bear the best fruit. Yes, simple lives do bear the best fruit. Jesus was simple. His disciples were simple. They didn't have a love for the world. They weren't distracted by the world, you know. Their love was souls. And I saw three different ministers showing me three different gardens of their ministries, all three different times. I have been administered to in their fellowships, including Brother David's. I still keep in contact with all three ministries or servants of God who by revelation are called of God. Some common things to these ministries are they operate in signs and wonders and have raised the dead. They live in faith without salaries. They stress the word of God and holiness. All reject the prosperity gospel, once saved, always saved doctrine, and preach that unless we lose our self-life, we cannot gain the life of Christ to be with him in his kingdom. All the houses shown to me by the ministers were white bungalows with a huge yard or estate all around it. Ministries 1 and 2 had brick houses. Only Brother David's house was made of wood. Well, my note back then was the structure of the ministry is not man-made, but natural for God's kingdom. And God's children are likened unto trees. And this represents the simple life and ministry that Jesus and his disciples gave us as an example. And that's what we have to get back to. And she said, brick, to my opinion, looked better than wood. Yes, it does. It looks good. The design of the brick houses looked better than Brother David's wooden house. But my thought is bricks were made in Egypt to build it. You know, bricks are a work of man, right? And a lot of structures out there, even if there's good people, holy people inside, a lot of the structures for the ministries are of the world. She said, Ministry 1 was the most beautiful house of the three, but had the worst looking garden. It was beautifully, so the house can be very beautiful, but if you tend to make that what is most important, the garden will suffer, right? Jesus didn't need a fancy building. He didn't need it. It was beautifully covered in grass, that is the garden, and I saw only a few shoots of plants. Bad garden, right? I also saw the vine growing on the ground with good grapes. It was like here and there. I happened to taste one grape, and it was sweet and very good. But that garden looked bare and unattractive apart from the grass. And Peter also said, all flesh is as grass, right? Ministry 2 got a second rank from me. Its house designed was also second in rank, better than Brother David's, but not as good as Ministry 1. They had a beautiful garden. I thought of Eden when I was looking at their garden. I saw a waterfall. The leaves were very green and lush. The leaves and the plants were extremely huge. There were trees and everything was exquisite. However, I did not see color. Well, color represents the attributes of the light, who is Christ, right? And there may have been a few flowers, but I can only remember the greenery. Okay, so that was ministry number 2 that she went to and evaluated in Revelation. And Brother David's house was the worst looking in terms of beauty and design, no offense. None taken. It was extremely humble, simple in design, and I would not even take a second look at that house. Well, I've always said that we are not too much to look at, but Jesus' ministry was like that, simple. He sometimes just sat on a rock and taught. Where is this fancy temple, right? It was not dilapidated, but just unattractive. But his garden was the most beautiful of the three. It was awesome beyond words can express. I saw very exotic, gigantic plants with flowers and leaves, etc. Each flower was different. The flowers, which I believe represents the saints, were in all the spectrum of the rainbow. So all the color were there. These colors of the prism are the attributes of the light, who is Christ. In this garden, the flowers were the attraction. And I believe flowers are the fruit desired of what kind of plant, of that kind of plant. And they're planted for beauty, to please the beholder, like the bride. And this fruit is to eat with the eyes, not with the mouth, right? And Brother David was also walking with me and pointing and naming those individual plants with flowers. Frankly speaking, I was not paying attention to him because, and she probably should have been, because I thought I was in heaven. The garden looked heavenly until I tripped and fell. And that did happen. This was very prophetic. All of this person was the most prophetic among multitudes of people, you know. Why are all the gardens different? They asked. There are different needs, of course, and different gifts and different amounts of devotion to God and different fruits born of the word in the ministries. Why was Brother David's the best garden I saw among the three? Well, my thought was, by God's grace, no man can take any credit. The fruit is the fruit of the word and of the Lord, right? Why did the worst looking house have the best looking garden? And the best looking house have the worst looking garden? Does the house also speak about the life of the ministers? Well, it can mean their ministry. It can be fancy, you know, like worldly, or it can be just simple, like Jesus's was. That's what I think it really talks about. You know, Jesus' spiritual house was not much to look at, but he had the best fruit, the best flower in God's garden, right? Isaiah 53:2 says, "For he grew up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness." There you go. "And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." There you go. He wasn't fancy, didn't wear a pinstripe suit, etc., 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 you know. And I believe that God did not want his people to be enamored with the physical appearance of his servant in a fleshly kind of worship. He wanted them to be impressed with the spiritual man inside. And the house of Jesus' ministry was not much to look at either. He was born in a stable and taught in a wilderness, and he had no fancy temple, synagogue, or people. He preached to the poor and rejected, and was rejected. As he sat on the ground or on a rock, he is an example to us to respect a simple life and ministry. All of the great latter times ministries will be this way, I guarantee you. I don't really feel comfortable putting things on our site that could appear to give any credit to me. I told the Lord that I would not put this on our site unless he gave me a sign. And I asked at that time for four heads, and I got them. And I feel it's important for the people to know that we are financially accountable, as she discovered, to the Lord for stewardship, to see that it goes towards the purpose that people send it to us, and not any personal gain. For that reason, on our bylaws, I take nothing from the ministry. And I think that's the right thing to do. Their notes were this: "I always pray for God to reveal to me whether a man is a servant ordained of God or not. God would often show me a physical sign. A tangible presence of God would descend on the servant of God's written or spoken word. I would see something in dreams or visions or get a word from the Bible. And I have been given many confirmations on God's servant, Brother David Eales. Before I saw simple lives bear the best fruit, which was the third confirmation from God, I had prayed specifically for God to show me what I would see if I were to be physically present in Pensacola, Florida," because she was on the other side of the world, "and check the financial accounting records of the ministry of this man of God. And 2 days after my request, I saw the dream, which has since been uploaded, Escape Judgment by Clean Works. Judgment starts in the house of the Lord. This dream showed me that Brother David Eales had and desired to have clean hands, works, because he was constantly approaching me to get the white cloth which I was using to clean my cup for his own use. I then went on to reveal to Brother David my prayer concerning him. He replied to me that he was not offended and went on to give me the humble details of his life before God. And when I opened this email of August the 7th, a tangible presence of God descended upon me, which was the second confirmation from God. And I give all glory to God for Brother David's life and obedience to God's call in his life." Amen. You know, every ministry who is being given to should use that money for the way and for the purpose that it's given, and for the purpose that God wants it to be given. And it's not to enrich the person. The so-called tithe is a way for people to put you under the law and plunder and rob you. And in the tithe, the tribes gave to one tribe. And so the leadership, that tribe of ministers, they always lived on an average of what the rest of the people lived on. Okay. Now, that's not being done. I mean, you have these mega churches out there, and they think the tithe is supposed to go to the pastor for his personal use. And some of it, of course, goes to the ministry to keep it going and so on and so forth. But that's not the way God ordained it. So, but the Father is going to clean all that up in these days. He said he's going to send a judgment on the apostate church in order to clean it up, in order to grant repentance, in order to remove people from over them that are mistreating them, even remove people over families who are mistreating their families. And so God has shown us that. He spoke this to us clearly. And we know that this is coming. And it's coming to clean up the body and to free up the people to follow the Lord whithersoever he goeth. That is the fruit of the 144 in Revelation 14. And it should be the fruit of everybody. And Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus, that you would deliver your people from every kind of bondage and be able to recognize ministries the way they're recognized in the Bible, not the way that they're recognized today in people's minds, or how fancy or how much money is in their buildings, or how much money they do, or what kind of car they drive, or how many airplanes they have. You know, Lord, everybody ought to be known as frugal people, just like Jesus and his disciples were, seeing to the needs of the people around them. No interest in the love of the world or the love of the things of the world, which, of course, would mean that the love of the Father was not in them. If they love the things of the world more than they love the people who are in need, they prove that God is not in them. And Father, we ask you in Jesus' name that you would grant repentance to your people, that they would recognize this evilness in the body of Christ, and that they would also have discernment enough to support ministries that are doing the work of the Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you do this. And also that those ministries that you raise up in these days, which I know are going to be great and wonderful, that they will be financially accountable to you, Lord. And the number one thing was to see to the needs of your people, whether spiritual or physical, to see to the needs. We thank you for doing that, Lord. We know you're going to do it. And we know that you're going to provide greatly to bring people to that kind of a revelation. Doesn't have to mean physically, but to that kind of revelation that you have given and demonstrated with your life, Lord, and with the life of your disciples. They were all very simple people, but yet we now know that they reached the world with their ministry. Very simple people. Kept not, you know, money for themselves, stored not up their treasures on earth, as Jesus said, but met the needs of the people. And Father, we thank you and we praise you. We know that you're going to make sure that these ministries are raised up. These David end time man child ministries are raised up in order to bring some order to your church and to meet the needs of the brethren out there who are in Babylonish bondage to something that is not a church. And Father, we only have one place to go and look and see the demonstration of what a church is supposed to look like. And for goodness sake, how far have we strayed? We ask you, Lord, that your people would get back in the Word, that they will be hungry for your Word, that they won't depend on man to give them the Word, although you have men who are teachers who teach you and sow the seed of the kingdom, but they won't depend upon man to be the only place that they can receive the Word. And they will go and get in the Word themselves. This is going to cause so many people to desert apostate Christianity and seek out truth. Father, you've told us that you're going to use the deep state to judge apostate Christianity. And we know that this is for the good of your people in freeing them up from Babylonish captivity and bringing them to Zion, where your words are going to be spoken. Lord, we praise you for that. We worship you for that. We know that, Lord, that you're going to work in your people to will and to do of your good pleasure in these days through a great revival that you're going to send forth. Some people don't believe a great revival is coming. They believe a great falling away is coming, which is true too, but a great revival is coming. Great revival. Multitudes coming into the kingdom, being totally dissatisfied with the status quo. We're looking at a parable of this in the political realm. Multitudes of people around the world are wanting to be free from Babylon deep state. They're wanting to be free. And we're seeing it. Well, we watch the Democratic hopefuls out there. They can't gather a crowd. And you see the people gathering around Trump because to them he represents somebody that is not part of the political status quo, somebody that wants to change. Obama, of course, spoke about change, and it was all bad. People realized that. They knew that just speaking about change is not doing it. And but they realized that in Trump, he's being very successful in doing it because the Lord God has stood him up there to do that. He has gifted him with a strong backbone, and he needs prayer every day for wisdom and protection, and to come into the kingdom himself, which I believe he will ultimately do. It'll probably be when he gets through with this ministry of being president. Because in the place of president, they do a lot of things that are contrary to a disciple. So, at any rate, it'll probably be at the end of that that he actually comes into the kingdom. Because God uses every vessel for what it's created for and what it can do and what it can do well. And he's chosen this president for that. He's gifted him for that. So if you look at that political parable, you can see the same thing is true in the church. There are people that are satisfied to live in communism, right? That's what these people are preaching, total communism. And by the way, Satanists too are among them, and they're so totally satisfied with that. And but others, they want more. They want to be free from this political bondage that's happened. And I believe that that is a parable for the church, because the church too is going to want this freedom. And because church means the called out ones, the ecclesia, the called out ones, they're coming out of the status quo, right? They're wanting to be delivered and be walking as disciples. And God is going to respect that desire by doing and working in them to willing to do of his good pleasure. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name throughout the apostate church, Lord, that you would give dreams and visions. Lord, I've prayed this in the past and seen on individual basis how that you delivered people from churches that were just apostate by their own dreams, which I prayed for them to have. So, Lord, I'm asking you to give to your people in the church that belong to you, that are called of you, that are invited to partake of the kingdom, even though they're caught up in religious bondage, that you would give them dreams and visions today to show them where they are and where they need to go, to show them what's wrong with what they're in and where they need to go. And Lord, we believe for this, and I ask everyone out there to agree with me for this, because if any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. So we're agreeing, Father, that you will open the eyes of the blind. You will deliver those who are in bondage. You will deliver them, and you will set them free to follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Yes, because it's hard to hear from the Lamb. My sheep hear my voice. If all you can hear is the loud, loud voice of Babylon, it's hard to hear. And unless you get alone with the Lord and get into the pure Word of God and read it for yourself, and ask God to show you and open truth to you from His Word, you're going to get drowned out by Babylon. If the only thing you get is church, you know, really, we all have to seek out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And we need to draw close to God through His Word and pray through the Word. When you read the Word, you see something you like, claim it. You see something you don't like, refuse it. Now, refuse what you see in your life that does not line up with the Word. Refuse it. Cast it down. Do it officially so that the demons know that you are rejecting them. All right? Confess Him before men, and He will confess you before the Father and the holy angels. Amen. Confess Him before men. Speak the same as. That's what confess means. Homo legeo. Speak the same as. Say what God says. If you say what God says, you'll get thrown out of these churches and you won't. You know, that's a good thing. Many, many of you have that experience. You spoke what you knew was in the Word, and for that you were ostracized, persecuted, and kicked out. And that was the Lord. That was the Lord. Now you can go on. You're free to go on. And sometimes people only take a couple of steps and they enter into another church and it, you know, they after a while learn the same thing and they go on and they go on and they're always looking for the truth. And that's good, because if you're looking for the truth and you hold the Bible up as your standard, you're going to find the truth. You're going to know the truth, and the truth will set you free, won't it? Oh, thank you, Father. And Lord, we thank you for these huge ministries that you're going to raise up that are very simple and that really take into account a lot of people, not just some guy at the top. I mean, this is being passed on down, you know, and it's being passed on down to people who can, who will respect it and pass it on to others. And then they pass it on to others. It's a geometric effect. We only have a few years left. We have to have this geometric effect. It's what they used to call the trickle-down in politics, trickle-down theory. Well, it's not a theory. It works. You know, some guy may hand out a word to three or four, and three or four hand it out to eight or ten, and on and on and on, you know. And, you know, you create a ripple every time you share the gospel out there. And that ripple gets bigger and bigger and bigger as it goes out. It's like a stadium. And I mean, people have shared dreams about me preaching in stadiums. And I think stadium is something where somebody in the middle shares something and it goes out to extreme larger and larger rows of people. You know, that's the way a stadium is. And that's the way it ought to be. If we all speak the Word of God, it's going to affect people out there we have no idea that we have reached. No idea. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we ask you, too, to bless Michael Hare as he comes and shares a word with the brethren, and bless the brethren to have eyes to see and ears to hear and to retain the good word of God. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good night.